Welcome to episode 6 of Winning Ugly. I'm joined, as always, by my beautiful co-host, Evan Georges. Say hello, Evan.
Hello, hello.
And then, as the rumor mill has been churning, we do have a special guest for episode 6. We have none other than our man, Scott, from Sox Twitter, joining us. Hello, Scott.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. It's been a long time coming. I'm excited.
Thanks. I can say I think Scott's our number one fan for interactions. This man's always retweeting and liking our stuff, and we're very appreciative of it.
I mean, I have to. I mean, it would be nice if guys with clout like Shy Sox fan Mike and GD could retweet it, but, you know, they're not group household guys like I am. So here I am.
Boom. And third in line to the Keds Dog fan club, even though it was a tough day Friday, but that's what makes the Keds Dog fan club what it is. If it was just cherries and roses, if it was the Jacob deGrom fan club, we would have thousands in it. But this is what makes the Keds Dog fan club what it is.
I do have to admit something. I did not watch a single pitch of that game, so I will take the blame for that one. I think with me watching, he would have performed better.
Well, it's okay. You know, this is why you were made, you know, an honorary chief of the Keds Dog fan club. It's a managerial role. It's an important role, but, you know, there's got to be more, you know, commitment and shed some more blood to really get higher in the club. So keep it at an arm's distance, but nonetheless, I'm personally really excited to have you on the podcast. So thank you for joining us, Scott.
Yeah, I'm excited. When Evan texted me about it, and he kept saying, like, oh, Scott's too big to come onto my podcast. I was like, what the hell is he talking about? I already texted you and told you I would do it whenever you wanted. Like, I will gladly jump on whenever, because, I mean, we all are connected through this whole White Sox team that, man, do I have some hot takes on.
Yeah, so I do want to just connect with the listeners real quick. I don't even really know how explosive this podcast is going to get. It's not a question of if it's going to get explosive. It's a question of how explosive. So this is how it's going to go for everyone listening. Evan, Scott, and I are going to go ahead and have a nice little Sox, whatever you call it, celebration. We're going to keep it really, really positive. We're going to talk about some players that have been performing well. We're going to talk about, you know, the Cubs and the Red Sox series, which were, I don't know, good series of baseball objectively. I don't know. We're going to keep it really, really positive. We're also going to have a Sox mail, which is going to be a very fun topic. It's going to be icons of the rebuild. I think we're going to have a couple good laughs. Let's just say after that, it's no holds barred. It's WrestleMania, Undertaker versus Kane. It is anything goes. And I don't really know what's going to happen. But, you know, we might as well jump into it. You know, whatever happens, happens, fellas. How about it?
Sounds like a plan. I did tell Evan yesterday that I was going to be cool, calm, and collected, and then the game happened today. So, sorry in advance.
Great. All right. Well, on that note, let's go ahead. Let's start off. Let's go all the way back these last 2 weeks of Sox baseball. Let's start at the Cubs series. So, obviously, I think personally, I'll just go ahead and just start off. I think this was the last kind of complete team performance we've seen from the White Sox these last 2 weeks. Even though, you know, 6-game winning streak, we'll get to the Boston series. But I think in the Cubs series, you saw that team really grind at bats. You know, you saw some great bullpen performances from Foster, from Liam Hendricks. He shut down games 1 and 2 back to back. And personally, even though, you know, the bats weren't crazy, you know, the weather conditions weren't amazing, and I just felt like the approaches were respectable. You guys, I don't know if you guys agree with that, but you go ahead and just let loose whatever you guys think about that Cubs series.
Yeah, I mean, the bats have been kind of non-existent all year, but when you're playing in 40-degree weather with 20-mile-per-hour wind coming right at you and you can grind out those games, that's huge. Kopech looked really, really good. He was shaky, and, you know, he was very upset with himself, and you saw that in the broadcast. But, like, there's nothing that you can do then in a game like that, and that's kind of, like, the shitty part about baseball is that, like, you play April games in the Midwest and you have other teams playing April games in the West, like the Dodgers, who are playing in 70, 80 degree weather. Like, it just doesn't seem fair to me, but that's how baseball is. And I felt like the Sox performed well when they could.
Yeah, feeding off what Scott said, the weather definitely was not ideal for the series. It kind of had that, like, October-ish, like, playoff weather, like, 40s, grimy, like, Midwest weather. And it was cool to see them. The bats definitely weren't there, and I don't think, especially with how cold they were before, anyone was expecting 10, 12-run performances in 40-degree weather by bats that weren't performing as is. So to see them grind out at bats, move runners over, bunting, small ball stuff, actually work out, was good. The bullpen obviously was nails for the whole series. Yeah, it was good, and especially to beat the Cubs twice, who, even though it's not technically a rival, I mean, we all have friends that are Cubs fans, you know, talking. It gives a nice little cherry on top when we can beat the team from up north. So, yeah.
Now, one common theme I want to highlight as we move into the Red Sox series is that you saw Jose Abreu, you saw Luis Robert both be productive. Now, this continues into the Red Sox series. I know Jose Abreu, I think it was game one and game two, had back, I think game one, he had one RBI. And then game two, I believe he had multiple RBIs. But this is going to be a common theme, obviously, because I think where this trend is going, I think we all know. But
I think that Jose Abreu's been stuck in Boston. I think we need to find him.
yeah. So the Red Sox series for me, the main part of it that I thought was taken away was that the pitching was just stellar. You know, you had a great start by Dylan Cease on the seventh. You also had a great start by Dallas Keuchel as well, which was a great depth contribution that the starting rotation has been getting, you know, here and there. But like I said, there's been timely hitting, even though we did not score above four runs in this little short game, six-game win streak. The pitching is great, and the situational hitting especially was there when it needed to be.
Yeah, and I also have to give a quick shout-out to our guy, Quez Dog. He hummed in that first game as well. Honestly, seeing Keuchel pitching the way that he did was so surprising. It's almost like it almost looked like he was kind of back to his old self, kind of like 2020, where we knew that he was getting hit hard, but we were kind of getting lucky. But he also was pitching well enough to give us by. Like, if we got that Keuchel all year, I would be so, so happy, but I don't think we're going to.
Yeah, that's feeding off that. Yeah, with Keuchel, it's the last start was good. The start, the Red Sox start was good, but I don't know. It's when you're reliant on 87, 86, it's hard to just be successful for that for a consistent amount of time. Like, you can have spot starts, but it's kind of like what Kyle Hendricks has been running into too. So, yeah, it was cool to see Keuchel really shove. Yeah, I think the Red Sox series in general was kind of like, if we would have saw that series March 31st, like before the season started, we would be like, oh, that's going to be a huge series, two juggernauts of the AL that they were last year. And with the South Sox were playing and how the Red Sox have been playing, I think it was a good, I thought it was going to be a good wake up call for the team of, oh, we beat this, a good team. I mean, Fenway's Fenway, playing on the road is hard for baseball, and getting a sweep like that, even against the struggling Red Sox team, I thought would jolt the team, but yeah, it did not. But yeah, I thought we could have built off that. It was some solid baseball, a come from behind win on Saturday's game, I believe. Yeah, and it was, I thought was going to be the turning point, but.
Well, we're already getting into the negativity. I love this. I mean,
yeah, my positive, As our conversations were of texting before this, I'm a little frustrated, and it's already coming out at the 10-minute mark. So,
well, yeah. I was actually thinking too, we could even my plan was to stoke that fire, talk about the Monday, May 9th, the opening up of the Cleveland series, oh, then just geez. Go just 180 to Icons of the Rebuild.
I mean, I don't know. Do we even have to talk about that Monday geez. Game? If I want to add in the Red Sox series, I was really glad to see the bullpen and even the starting pitching staff do well. But, I mean, even then, we couldn't hit the ball other than that clutch hitting by Abreu.
Robert ran to one in Friday.
Yep. That was a moonshot that the Apple TV broadcast just like acted like it barely got out. Like I was watching it and I was like, how? I was listening on the radio and Len's call was great. And then I watched the broadcast. I was like, that might be the worst home run call I've ever heard in my life.
Even worse than when Joe Buck messed up David Freese. Walking it off to force of game seven.
I don't know. I kind of like that one because we will see you tomorrow night kind of always gets me. But yeah, that one wasn't great either.
I was totally joking too. Apple TV was 100% worse than
it's yeah.
Joe Buck ever said.
I love Joe Buck. I'll defend him to the day I die. People that says that he's a bad broadcaster, I just don't understand.
I'm already angry enough, Scott. I don't think we need to go into that. okay, you know what? Audible, I think we got a good vibe going. We're not going to talk about that 12-9.
No.
You know, Tanner Banks coming in and Liam, yeah. You know, absolutely just smearing the bed with shit. We're not going
to
talk.
Gavin Bonds might be back. That's all we can say about the series. And it was a good day closer to Yone's debut. Yeah.
I also have to say, I will admit, Monday night, I was so mad when they tied it up that I just went to bed. I didn't even watch the ending. I just knew what was coming, so I just went to bed. I was like, screw it.
Yeah, when we got one off Class A, I was like, all right. Because that's like my thing whenever the new extras are like, I'm like, all right, if we can get one or if we can hold them the one and then we tied it, I'm like, all right, I think we have the advantage. Like, they can't use Class A anymore. And then Josh Naylor became prime Barry Bonds. I don't know.
Well, you know, another note of that series, also a really positive one, 4 errors committed by the White Sox that game.
Yep.
Yeah. How many by 10? Like 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe 9. All right. Well, we've gone up to this point. I think I'm going to spare us of the negativity because we got plenty of negativity coming after this little segment. But we're going to go ahead and do Winning Ugly Sox Mail. So we got a suggestion from our friend Tim Anderson Lover at Tim a Goat 7, the man, the only man to ever respond to our Winning Ugly Mail. But we another
avid fan. I do have to say, I think he's up there with Scott. He's very good with the interactions.
Oh, most definitely. I think Scott, you know, the throne right now, you know, the call coming at Scott's head. But I think Tim a Goat 7 is definitely a contender.
Nobody's hearing that throne. I'm just letting you know.
But anyways, he suggested we present some icons of the rebuild. Right when I saw this, I was like, this is going to be a lot of fun. I think mine's going to be a real ringer. So I'm just going to go ahead and lead off. So you guys, each of you has exactly one guess. Okay, so this guy is a utility player. He's on the 2017 roster. He was 24 years old. I'll also throw this in as just because I like you guys. He's a former top 100 prospect.
Alan Hansen,
yeah.
Wow, that was impressive. I have not gotten that.
Alan Hansen. Oh,
that's like my skill. I'd be the Jeff Bezos of the world if it was remembering like the most obscure like MLB, NFL, or NBA players.
I do remember that you and Mike going back and forth, and I just random players that I don't think were real players. I'm convinced that you guys just like photoshopped random guys in uniforms because like some of these names, I was like, who the hell is that?
No, I found one. It was like a 2011 relief pitcher that only called play. His only MLB experience was like September. I can't even think of the name. I sent the picture and Shy Sox fan Mike had it within like 2 seconds. So he gets a lot of hate because of his following, but like that dude's a White Sox baseball like savant.
And I have to add, he's an awesome, awesome dude. And people that hate on him just because he has fame, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of love to Shy Sox fan Mike. But if anyone doubted the legitimacy of this rebuild, Alan Hansen played 69 games that season.
Nice.
69 games. He crushed at a 3.75 slugging percentage. And he had, let's see, four tape measure home runs, which I promise they were nukes. You know, I think each one at least 400 plus in distance, but 6.51 OPS. I remember Alan Hansen when the White Sox acquired him. I remembered him coming up with the Pirates. He was obviously, like I said, a top 100 prospect. He had a couple really nice tools, really fast guy. I believe left side of the plate, lefty swing, if I'm correct, right, Evan?
Is he a lefty or switch?
That's why I forget if he was switch or lefty, but he, like I said, I like the just bring him in because in my mind back in 2017, 17-year-old Jake was thinking, you know, need to bring in as much young talent as we can, just see any guys that blossom. And to say it was a legendary experience to watch Alan Hansen on the White Sox is really, you know, really underscoring it. I really enjoyed watching him on the White Sox, and to see his name pop up on this roster just brought a smile to my face. So that is my icon for the rebuild.
All right. My bad, Scott.
You're good.
You go.
Okay. Mine, I don't even know if this would classify as a rebuild guy, but I have like a memory in my mind and I can never forget it. Mine is Clay's brother, Trace Thompson.
Yes.
I went to a game. I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was against Baltimore because I want to say every single time Manny Machado came up, we gave him a standing ovation to try recruiting him to the White Sox. Obviously, oh, we know we're bus. That did not work. But anyway, I remember going to this game, and I want to say it was like the seventh or eighth inning. We were down by a run. Trace Thompson was on second. He pinch ran. There was a base hit to, I want to say, right field. I don't remember what it was exactly, but all I remember was there was a stop sign up, and he ran through it and got thrown out by, I shit you not, 30 feet. So my only memory of Trace Thompson was him being thrown out by 30 feet. And I just looked at my buddy and I just looked at each other like, what the hell just happened? So that is my guy. And I have to give an honorable mention. Sorry, Evan. I hope this doesn't take your guy. Jimmy Biceps. God, love him.
Yes.
I was a Jimmy Biceps guy, but that was not my guy. So okay, we're good. We're good.
I just want to say, too, the Kez Dog fan club was originally a Jimmy Biceps fan club for all you new listeners. So that totally was the original. Scott, real quick, sorry if I interrupted. Trace Thompson just elected to become a free agent. You know, it might be a little foreshadowing, maybe, you know, part two, Trace Thompson run.
If he comes back to the Sox, I would be the cherry on top for me. But if I have to mention Jimmy Biceps, I have to mention thank you, Ricky Renneria, for blowing out his arm for him throwing 30 games out of 60 games. Like, that is – he literally threw in half the games in the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. That is literally impressive.
All right, I got two. I got one that I'm just going to give away because Jake, I knew would have got this because I was a Matt Perk, the left-hander. The guy looked like he should have been, like, my, like, junior year, like, chemistry teacher. He wore glasses out there with, like, a sideways flat bill, left-handed goofball. Like, this dude was just, like, a meme. Like, he was an NPC. Like, the dude was not a real human. He struggled to throw strikes. He was not a good pitcher in the major leagues. Former first-round pick somehow. But I remember me and Jake were watching a game at his house. It was like probably junior year of high school. And he came in, and we were just like – it was, I think, another friend was there too. And I just screamed Perk at the TV for about 20 seconds. And it was just my guy. Like, I was like, this dude – like, it wasn't even because I believed in him. I thought – I knew he was not a good pitcher in the major leagues. I just thought he was the funniest looking dude. Like, I was like, this dude's like, because you're used to a professional athlete being like some buff dude or like freakishly fast. Like, this guy could have walked into my high school the next day and wrote like a chemistry, like a whole thing on the board. And I would have been like, all right, this is my new chemistry teacher. But he was pitching on the White Sox.
TCU alumni, by the way.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, he did pitch at TCU. All right, here's my one for you guys to guess is he could man all three outfield spots. He had a cannon for an arm. He was a part of an infamous outfield that all included the same last name. He collided with Yoan Moncada on a play that was very worrisome at the time.
Evan, can I guess?
Yes.
I would like to say Willie Garcia.
Yes, the Willie Garcia. I remember because me and Jake were at the Sale Quintana game, Sale's return to at Guaranteed Rate, and it was like really hyped up. Like it was probably, it had to have been the biggest sellout of the season because that team was horrible in 2017. And I remember Willie Garcia. It was such like an obscure play that I don't even know like how I remember it. But like someone hit a double because everyone thought it was going to be pitcher's duel, and there were teams are hitting like nukes off each other. Like, I think Devin Romero hit like two homers, and Willie Garcia fielded a double like down the line right in front of us because we're at the left field line, and he just threw like an absolute nuke to second base. Like it didn't get anyone out, but he threw it from like the corner to second on like an like just a crazy long throw.
And I remember that.
Good Lord, I was like, where the this dude's just hiding like an absolute bazooka, and you could never see it because he was not a very good hitter.
if you got extremely drunk and maybe like squinted, maybe stood like 100 feet away from a TV and squinted, he could pass for Eloy Jimenez, you know, and like with his, with his you know, right hand stance up there, and you know, just, you know, nuke or bust for that guy.
It was like a Walmart brand.
This is such a great segment because about a month back, my buddy and I were sitting on Xbox talking. He's a White Sox fan as well. And we're like, let's go through this 2016 White Sox team and look how bad we were. Oh, my God. Some of the numbers that we were listing off, we're like, that cannot be a real number. Like, we had guys in, like, the 400 OPSs starting for us, like, 60 games. We're like, how is this possible? It was bad.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, this does lighten up the mood a good bit of how angry I was like at this team currently, and now I think back to some of those teams, and I'm like, sometimes you gotta appreciate what you got.
I just want to say to, you know, round out this segment. I think you guys will enjoy this. I'm looking at the top 12 players in WAR for the 2017 White Sox. You want to know who's number 12?
Oh no.
It's Mr. Gregory Infante, the one and only Gregory Infante.
Oh, gee. Yeah, those teams, I don't know. I mean, it was also off. Like, I think since there was hope of, like, these young guys that are now up, it made it, like, a little bearable. But, good Lord, that was some tough baseball.
Those were the good times during the rebuild, though. It's just, like, thinking it's, like, oh, Yoan Moncada today had a bomb. Like, who cares? Like, he's coming up soon. And, like, all those guys. So that was the fun part during the rebuild, I should say. Yeah.
Just hope. It was all just hope.
Yep.
So now since we got the mood, you know, brightened up a little bit, let's just go ahead and just destroy it. Let's go ahead and just get angry. Let's let out everything we want to say about this team so far. Scott, I know it's a little impromptu, but I know you got a lot to say about the Sox right now. I want to give you the floor. I want you to go ahead and lead us into the disaster segment. You can go ahead.
I feel honored to have that. And first off, I just want to say that my friend was at the game today, and he texted me this, and I have to bring it up because we are doing this on Tuesday, so pray for us. We are doing a White Sox drinking game, and we have six things that we have. And I just have to say, if you have any other suggestions of what we could do to get just absolutely hammered watching this team, let us know. We have Shot During the Nationwide Song, so that's a pretty good one. Someone says MVP toe, take a drink. Our pitcher walks someone, take a drink.
Oh, geez. That's Reese the one you got to worry about.
Reese McGuire gets a hit. Finish your beer.
You're not finishing any beers.
No. Jose strikes out is another one. And then we get out on the first ready. Pitch. First pitch outs is another one. So that's our little drinking game that we're doing Tuesday. But this team, okay, I have never Chicago, right? We support really, really, really bad sports teams. And the one year that we actually have hope is just kind of thrown out of down the drain at this point. This team is just downright not good. Like, we should be better, but something happened after that 2020 season where we just, I don't know, but we can't hit. And I don't understand it because we led baseball in home runs in 2020, and now we just can't hit. Guys, we have a worse OPS than the Reds, who got no hit today. Sorry, they no hit the Pirates and still lost. We have a worse OPS than them, and we have guys like Robert, Moncada, Anderson, Abreu, and don't even get me started on Abreu. He has been awful, and I know that it's like a typical April for him, but oh my God, has he been bad. He needs to like retire. He's so bad. So it's been very frustrating watching that, and like our pitching staff has actually been so good, and then coming in and then seeing that dinosaur of a manager come out and bring in Tanner Banks in a close game. Like, what are we doing? I don't know. This team gives me more frustration than they give me satisfaction at this point.
Yeah, to feed off that, Scott, I was thinking about this earlier. This team's giving me like 2019 Bears vibes.
Oh.
Like it was all like 2021, even though like the narrative of like we couldn't beat good teams. Last year was such a fun season. We were mashing the ball. We led run. We were up there in run differential for most of the season. It was just fun baseball to watch. Like the team was scoring. Starting pitching was fine. We had good bullpen. Like it was so, even though we knew we needed some luck to win the World Series last year, I had a lot of fun watching last year's team, even 2022. Okay. I've said it to Jake multiple times when I've had to watch games this year. It feels like I'm like, it's like a homework assignment. Like it's like something I have mm-hmm. to, like it's not like it hasn't been at times like fun to watch. And I'm just waiting. I'm not like totally out yet, cause I know they have talent and our division's horrible. Cause I still think they'll win the division. The Twins aren't good. The Guardians, even though they own us somehow, are not a good baseball team. Like I think they'll end. They need to really switch things up to even hope to win a playoff series. But it's really just frustrating that this team is so good on paper, and it's just something's not clicking. Like I think GD tweeted something about it yesterday or 2 days ago. I think it was, of just like, what changed? And it was really Rodon leaving was really the only big thing, but Kopech and C stepping up to the levels that they have, I feel like should mitigate like the Rodon factor. I mean, I don't think I'm wrong thinking that. Like, I think Rodon leaving sucks, but it's like, I don't think a team should be at this point, such a difference of a year with only that one roster thing.
Well, sorry, you can go ahead, Scott.
Honestly, I almost feel like it's not from the top down, but like Tony isn't a young guy. He's not going to be like energetic in the locker room, getting everybody up. But along that line, we've had success the last 2 years. We've made the playoffs for the first time in back-to-back years and however long it has been. So I feel like that success is getting to those guys' minds, and they're still all pretty young for the most part, and we don't have like a super – like a lot of veteran experience on the team, like we do, but we don't. So with that, I just think that they're struggling because they're not used to having this success, and now they just think that it should be handed to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is really the first, other than maybe the end of the 2020 season, which with the Indians, then the Indians walking us off right before the playoffs, which they did not respond well to because they lost to the Athletics. This is really the first like major adversity record-wise, because the injuries happened last year. That's 100% adversity, but guys stepped up and I think made it easier to adjust to the players being out last year for the extended amount of time. This is like, I think the first adversity like record-wise of like shit's kind of hitting the fan, and excuse my language. This is, I think, the first time I've actually sworn on the podcast. So that's how frustrated I am. Of like, it's just, I don't know, and they haven't responded well to it, even though they've gotten some wins in it luckily because of the pitching. But I'm just like, the bats have to come around, man. Like I'll take that first Yankees loss if the bats could have responded the next mm-hmm. three games, but they were, I mean, other than a Gavin Sheets like garbage time homer and the Robert walk off, like even though we walked them off, it was 3-2 with a blown save. Like, to be realistic, that's like a game that you're like, okay, that's fine if we win a bunch of like easy games. But like, I don't know. I'm kind of just rambling on right now, but I've kind of been befuddled by what's been going on.
So I think three things stand out to me that are the most noticeable. So coming off of your guys' points with pitching and hitting for the first two, I think even also the contribution and growth that we've seen of Kopech so far, which, you know, in this game that just ended on Sunday against the Yankees, he had an atrocious inning where he walked, you know, I think four straight people. You know, we gave up three runs, obviously, in that inning. But ever since then, he battled, and he retired, I believe, was 15 or 18 straight batters. I think even his growth also shows that the hole left from Rodon should really be filled. So I think I agree with your point there, Evan. I think, Evan, you made it right, Evan?
Yeah.
So I think Cease and Kopech's growth should plenty fill for it. That is not a valid excuse for performance so far. That's one. I think two, with regards to hitting that Scott talked about, I heard Frank Thomas talk in the post game today, you know, about, hey, maybe it's the shortened spring training, all that kind of stuff. And he kind of made it seem like it was only that thing, which I'm going to go ahead and just assume that he didn't mean to say that it's only the shortened spring training that's causing this. Every team went through that. That's just bullshit. But I you know, it's a certain malaise that we can all see over all the batters right now. And I think you can really tell that all their approaches at the plate right now are deteriorating for some godforsaken reason. Even Vaughn today, who has, you know, usually a great approach, and I'll give him some benefit of the doubt. He just came off the IL. He's got to get back into the tune of things. But even Vaughn's approach, who, if he's not even smoking the ball, is usually pretty damn good. He was chasing stuff outside of the zone. He was pulling stuff on the outside of the plate. Corrected it to Cortez today. He was nasty. He was really peppering that outside part of the strike zone. The ump was giving it to him especially. But, I mean, the approaches have just been awful. And I'm going to call it the malaise for now, because I think this lineup is capable of a lot more than they're doing, obviously. I think that we are not a bottom. I don't think we are a team that should be below the fucking Reds in OPS. And excuse my language too, but we should not be at this level. One more part about hitting as well. I want to say that personally, I'm a little surprised, even though I'm a huge Yoan Moncada fan, he is becoming an indispensable part of this lineup, especially right now. I mean, this man, he's come into here when our only left-handed bat was Gavin Sheets. We had to start him every day because Andrew Vaughn was hurt. I mean, he has looked really good from the small sample size that we've seen so far. I really think that that will continue into the season. He'll become an indispensable, you know, part of this lineup. So I feel like, you know, in general, it looks like a malaise to me. You know, maybe in 2 weeks it'll look different. Maybe we'll see some flashes. But I really feel like you're not seeing games that are won fairly. You're not seeing, you know, hard-fought games. You're like not
domination from all three facets, I think, is the thing that we're really lacking. Something's always been off with even our wins.
There's always a major lapse in something every game, and that's just not something you want to see. So I kind of rambled there. That is my, like, three main things, but I just feel like that's the biggest thing, is that there's a major lapse in something. There's either hitting's awful, pitching's good. Pitching's awful, hitting's good. Maybe both. Who knows? It's just – it's really concerning, to be honest.
Let me add to that. I almost feel like that this hitting thing is an organizational thing at this point. Like, I don't know if you guys – I remember I was going to a game last year, and Andrew Vaughn was up in the majors, and he was struggling. He couldn't really hit the ball. This is actually the game that he hit his first ever home run off Jay Happ. So he was struggling, and Frank Medichino, our genius of a batting coach, about it, he said, fuck the home run, let's hit 300. Well, how is that working for us? We're not hitting 300. We're not hitting home runs. and we can't work account to serve our lives. Tim has never worked account, so I won't blame Tim for not working counts. But guys like Yaz, like he's more aggressive this year. I don't really like. For some reason, Jose Abreu is working counts, which I don't understand. But everybody else on the team just refuses to work account. And that we've seen that when they work account, they actually get hits because, you know, they're 2-0, up 2-0, and then they'll get a fastball right down the plate. Like, those are the plates. Those are the bats that you have to hit. And it's just crazy. I don't know. I think it's an organizational thing. And I also, my biggest hot take that I will throw out there that people will probably crucify me for, I think Rick Hahn did awful this offseason. I think he's done an awful job ever since, kind of like we were in that win now mode. Past 2020, like when he got Grandal, and last year, like he was fine. He got Liam, but like this year, he lets Rodon walk, which I wasn't mad about because honestly, I didn't think Rodon was going to be worth $22 million as a question mark. But to then not replace him with anybody, replacing him with, and I love him, but Quez Dog, like, we have to replace him with somebody better. And, like, not bringing in a second baseman, bringing in Josh Harrison, who I don't mind, but then not spending on a right fielder who's a left-handed bat. And now we're just, like, struggling. And, like, you can't really blame him for the whole Pollock kind of sucking right now because you weren't expecting that. And maybe they'll turn around, but he's just done an awful job since we've needed to win now.
Yeah, the jump off that, Scott, the two things that have really irked me with batting, because I don't know, I played baseball throughout high school. I'm not saying I'm like a professional hitter or anything, but I feel like I know enough of like what's going through a player's head a little bit. And it's just like the thing that's really been throwing me off is, one, the lack of working counts and not taking advantage of like being ahead in the count of 3-1, 2-0. Like Abreu, like, we'll get 3-1-2-0, and then it'll just be a soft fly ball to center. Like, I think he did it 3-4 times against the Yankees, like, in the three games I got to watch. Like, it's just been really frustrating on that standpoint of not taking what the pitcher's giving him. And then the other thing is, runners in scoring position. I saw the stat. I don't think it's changed, but the White Sox this year – this is just unreal when I saw this. The Jay Kuda guy, the Sox guy that tweets all the stats. Mm-hmm. The Sox are 1-for-20 with the bases loaded this year.
With
runners, because that's the thing. That's one of the things that I'm kind of adding up to why we're not scoring runs. I mean, obviously it makes sense. Is no one's getting that big hit when we got the second and third, other than Yon on Thursday. It's a one-run game, third and second, two outs. We don't get the run. Like it's just like – I feel like it's happening at such an insane rate right now. I don't know. It might just be my bias. I don't have the stats to back it up other than that, so I think I'm correct in it. But I don't know. It's – the big hit has been really lacking, and I don't know. Hopefully the series with the Royals come. The Royals are horrible. Me and Jake are actually going, which we're going to have stuff. Yeah, we're road trip with one of our buddies Tuesday. We're going to be at three of the games, Tuesday through Thursday. We're going to have some stuff for the pod on the Twitter that it'll probably come out tomorrow or Tuesday that we're going to do, but we're keeping it low right now. But so I hope they can find a way in that series to build some momentum and really get going, because it's going on a month plus now. We can't use the weather excuse anymore. It was 80 and beautiful the last week. Like, we can't use the weather excuse anymore. That Steve Stone, who, you know what, Steve Stone, I am happy Scott's on this podcast right now instead of you. That you declined. I gotta say it.
The funniest part about the whole thing was you tried getting him with Ligma. Like, did you think he was really gonna fall?
Well,
for that?
I wanted him to block us. I kind of wanted him to block us. I was kind of hoping he knew like what it was. I didn't think he was gonna respond to us again, but I was hoping like he would see it and like know what it was and block us. We didn't even block us, so I was like, dang.
Scott, I really didn't appreciate you bringing that up, because Ligma denied us pretty hard. We were really pulling for them. So I really didn't appreciate you mentioning that.
Sorry about that. Ligma, you should hop on the pod. That's my
opinion. I got a stat too that I think could or could not have some like kind of more insights. It's very basic. But it's the White Sox, and this is before the last two games of the series. But the Sox are 12-2 when they're scoring more hits than their opponents. So it's a record. That's all it is, a pretty simple stat. But to me, just knowing a bit of ball, that means that when we're winning games versus when we're not winning games, I think the big difference is just the bats. Because more or less, if you look at the trends this season, the pitching has been a lot less volatile than the bats. I mean, yeah, there's been, you know, games where the bullpen randomly implodes, which when that happens, I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Because more than consistently, the
bullpen. So one thing we spent on this offseason.
Yes. So, you know, this stat, it makes me frustrated, but it possibly gives me some hope too, because it personally, it tells me that this pitching staff, our arm barn, the whole nine, is solid. It can win games and go out there and dominate a game. It can take over a game. It can make a huge difference. What is really not being consistent at all with being volatile, and honestly hasn't even had flashes of greatness ever since like the fucking Detroit Tigers series, is the bats. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous how we have an explosive offense last year. You know, we have budding stars in Luis Robert. We have Jose Abreu, which, you know, Steve Stone will tell you a million times over before you die that he's the most prolific RBI getter that the White Sox have ever had. Well, I don't see the RBIs right now, Stone. I'm sorry. But I just feel like these bats are 100% the factor that's going to make this team sink or swim.
Let's just put this into perspective. Yoan Moncada has played in 6 games. He has 2 home runs, which is 2 off the lead with Tim Anderson at 4. Like, that cannot happen. We are 33 games into the season. How is our leading guy at 4 home runs? How is that possible?
That is an insane stat. I mean, it just shows, like, especially we talked about earlier with the 2020 team, which there's been some moving pieces, but all the key guys from that team are guys that are supposed to be producing now. And it's just, I don't know, it's insane for me just to think how different the bats feel from even this year versus last year. Like, I don't know. It's hopefully some playing the Royals, who we inexcusably lost the series to at home. Hopefully with them with lefty pitching, which I don't even know anymore since Montgomery pitched all right against us and Nestor Cortez was prime Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee against us. I don't even know.
He was 2022 Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just I don't even know, like, what to look forward to hope-wise for the – like, they're going to have to show me something because I'm usually a pessimistic fan for the Sox. Mm-hmm. I'm usually, like, not, like – the world's over, like some people are on Twitter, like that go on rants after every loss. Like, but with now the sample size is larger and the weather's not an excuse anymore. Like, I'm gonna need to see like 3 to 4 games of just the bats getting like 4 right. or 5, over 5 runs, like 5 or more against the Royals. If we can get to the Royals, which I already said they're a horrible team, with not very good starting pitching other than somehow Brad Keller is elite this year. I don't know how that's going on, but if we can finally figure something out this series, it'll pull the saying, like, it'll pull me off the rails. Like, I'll be a little bit more, like, I'll peek my head out there, but I don't know. It's some dude's got to step up. Pollock's got to step up. Abreu's got to step up, especially as the 3-hole hitter. That's the thing, because Pollock not producing when they got him at 6-7 is bad. It's not good. I'm not saying it's – but he's batting down there. Abreu's batting third, supposed to be – I mean, everyone knows in baseball, 3-hitter is supposed to be your best hitter. Like, that's just how it's been for hundreds of years. If our 3-hitter is hitting at the Mendoza line of 200 with not bringing in runs, not hitting for power – what are we doing? Like, I don't even know. Like, what? Like, I don't know. I'm like going to Eric Burns right now. But like, what are we doing? Where we have a guy like Luis Robert that's been one of the few bright spots hitting. We've had Yoan Moncada, although a small sample size, but it looks like it's here to stay because he's even hitting from the right side now. Has an off day for Jose Abreu. When okay, if you want to keep Moncada off his legs because of his injury, put Abreu on the bench. Like, we're gonna have a statue. I still love Abreu. But 2022, 33 games in Abreu should not just have an auto spot in the 3-4 hole. He should not. I think Moncada should have been DH today. I know it's one little thing, but punting games, when I felt like today, I know Stone said it last week, of there's regular season games because you're obviously going to – the best teams lose like 60 games. Like, you're going to lose games, but there's games within the game that you, like, need to win. Like, if you're struggling, like, this series, we looked horrible the first two games. Like, did not even look like we belonged on the same field with the Yankees other than, well, the first game we could have won. But still, third game we find a way to win. This could have been a huge game, like a huge win. Somehow split the series against a team that's been the hottest team in baseball. And we put out a Sunday lineup with, like, four auto outs. Like, I don't get it from that standpoint. I don't know.
I 100% agree. Go ahead, Scott.
That goes back to, if you guys don't know my app on Twitter, it used to be Keuchel2KBO. I recently changed it to TLR to retirement because he is – some of these lineups that he throws out there, it's just like, what are you thinking? Like, I love Reese McGuire as a defensive catcher. We needed a defensive catcher. I didn't mind him coming in as a defensive catcher, but he just sucks offensively. And then you're throwing him out there against a lefty, and he just has no shot, like, whatsoever. Like, I can't tell you the last time I saw him get hit. And I think
it was a bunt. The only thing he can do is bunt. Okay.
Yes, and he's good at bunting. But, like, you know, he's an auto-out at this point. Jose, as of yesterday, was 0 for his last 21 and finally broke out of it. But he's an auto-out at this point. And this is why I wanted the Sox to let him walk 2 years ago, because I knew that we had a guy like Andrew Vaughn coming up. And, like, I told Jake this earlier in the year, I didn't think Sheets was going to hit as well as he did last year. And so far, he hasn't. He's starting to heat up a little bit. But, I mean, that's another guy that you're kind of, like, clearing up if you let Jose walk. But they're never going to let that do that because he has a lifetime contract, and that's not good. And him batting 3 or 4 in our lineup is bad. In this lineup, fully healthy, he should be our six hitter at best, in my opinion, six hitter. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a hot Abreu, like an Abreu that is, like, at least hitting like he did last year, because he obviously didn't have his MVP season, but he was pulling his own way. I would say, like, a five hitter, but, like, okay, what he's been like this year, I'd say, like, six. I'd even put him at seven.
Yeah, I think I also agree, like, add a little bit of a coming to Jesus moment with that as well. I feel like, you know, if he's at his best, I love him at the five hole. But him getting an auto start 3 or 4, all that kind of stuff, it's getting pretty frustrating to me as well. And I completely agree with Evan too. The statue's still gonna be built. He's still probably one of my favorite White Sox players of all time, if not the favorite. But we're talking about winning right now in 2022. But I have a question I want to hear both your guys' opinions on. So moving forward, somehow the Sox got to find a way to get more competitive at the plate and start really living up to the expectations that are pinned to them for this season. Does this happen in, say, a Jose Abreu, say, a Luis Robert, well, though he doesn't really apply because he's already getting hot, but one of those guys really getting hot and becoming a major, major contributor, kind of shake the lineup out of malaise? Or is it kind of by, say, depth contribution guys popping out of nowhere, picking up the big stars so that, I don't know, maybe their morale stays up and they become more motivated to go ahead and pick up their performance? I would love to hear what you guys think about that.
Yeah, for me, I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, the star performance, because those are going to be the guys driving in runs, getting extra base hits. I think that definitely has to step up. I'd say it's probably like 80% that. And then depth guys, 100%. Like, because that's what we saw last year. Like, when Robert, Eloy went out, Be Good stepped up, was really hot for about a month. Billy Hamilton brought a jolt. Jake Lamb ran into a few balls. Like, we're not even – like, Josh Harrison has been absolutely horrendous. Bad. Like, he's been good in the field, but just – horrendous batting. Larry's had a good May, so I'm not going to rip on him because he's kind of doing like what you want him to do. Sheets was horrendous until the last few games. Reese McGuire, I think, sees the baseball the size of an atom. Like, I don't really know like what else to say. Like, I mean, I like the guy. Like, I think he's a good defensive catcher, and I understand to an extent of what they're doing of resting Yaz's legs because of like what happened last year. But I don't, with how bad the bats have been, I think Yaz, I mean, there's been times that Yaz has started like 1-2 games a week at catcher. I get resting a guy, but like an average starting catcher, like catches like 120, 130 games. Like they're missing like a game a week. And we got Reese playing like Reese. I saw a stat. Reese has caught like just as much as Yaz. Like I just like 50-50. I don't know. Like especially I think Harrison and Pollock are definitely the two that I think really need to get going. Harrison is the 9-hole flipping the line. If Harrison can get on base, how hot Tim's been and Robert in the 2-hole.
Game changer.
He's scoring left and right. It's like he's got to get going in the 9-hole. And Pollock's got to start hitting for some power. He's shown some flashes of barreling up some balls. But I need that Dodger. I mean, staying healthy relatively after that DL stint. But I need that Dodgers, AJ Pollock, to come out. Like I need that Dodgers driving the ball, finding gaps, hitting nukes. Like I need that AJ Pollock to come out if he's there. AJ Pollock, please return to guaranteed right field right now.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you. I think it's mainly on the stars at this point. Like we need Abreu to heat up. Yaz needs to heat up, and if Yaz can do what he did last year where he was kind of like, you know, a little bit down in the beginning of the season and all of a sudden he starts hitting the piss out of the ball but then gets hurt in Minnesota. Like if we can get that Yaz before he got hurt in Minnesota, that'd be great. Pollock has been very underwhelming, but once again, I just feel like he's going to start hitting. And Harrison has been all right. I need him to start hitting more. But if you have like Harrison / Lurie in the 9-hole and they can flip that order over to Tim, to Yoan, to Robert, like we should be scoring runs. We'll see, I guess. I mean, in perspective, we've won 7 of our last 11, and we're acting like this is doomsday, which I know it's not. It hasn't been great, 7 great wins, and it should really be 8 of 11 if we don't count that Monday game. But, I mean, at least we're still, like, somewhat hanging around. It's just we eventually have to start pulling away because as much as I hate to say it, I don't think this Twins team is as bad as everybody's saying, especially if Buxton is healthy. Buxton being healthy and Correa being healthy, that team is a lot better than what they're supposed to be because that pitching staff is terrible, but somehow it's working right now. So we eventually have to start like playing our best ball so we can start, you know, competing with them and taking over the division again.
So I kind of want to, since we're on kind of like an optimistic little trend here, which is, I did not
bring over
to this point. This is progress.
Sorry.
Gentlemen.
Sorry. I had to bring it up. I feel like this is a therapy session for me. I don't know.
I was going to say we're not doomsday preppers. We're suffering from PTSD. I mean, how many times in the Sox have we seen a team that's come up, shown flashes of being decent just to disappoint us? I think it's totally justified. I think because unless you change the culture, unless you show you can prove some things, then why should I think any different? That's what I think. So I agree with you, Scott. I think you're totally valid thinking that. I think that's what we're all thinking too, being lifelong Sox fans. Mm-hmm. You know, but I want to kind of shed a light on some on a positive here. So looking at the upcoming schedule, the next 3 weeks or the next 2 weeks, we don't play. We have a 5-game series against the Royals. After that, we play the Yankees and the Red Sox. After that, the next crosstown series with the Cubs before we play the Blue Jays and Rays. So what I look at with this upcoming schedule, we need to, you know, I want to say, We need to dominate it, which we kind of do need to dominate it, but we need to at least win the series against the Royals. And we need to also kind of use this as kind of a reset phase because I would love to come into New York Friday, May the 20th. That's when that series starts. I would love to come into New York, take that series and show the Yankees that we are a contender here in the AL and we're not some pushovers like we just performed this weekend. After that, we got the Red Sox, which we've already beaten a series, so hopefully we can use that as kind of another launch pad. Then we go down to the Cubs, destroy their bum asses like we usually will. And then we, you know, roll into Toronto sky high. So I know that's like an idealistic, you know, viewpoint. But even if we lose like the Red Sox series, if we can go ahead and get a series win against the Royals and also steal a series win against the Yankees, that is huge. That damn near saves the season. I mean, I don't know how many times, you know, with how the season's going so far, how many more times we're going to say this year that, wow, that saved the season. I really hope I don't say it too many more times, but I think this upcoming stretch is huge. So we don't put ourselves in a hole that we have to eventually dig ourselves out of after the All-Star break.
Totally agree with that. And this is, I think, I don't know exactly, but I'm pretty sure this is like one of the hardest stretches in our schedule in terms of who we're playing and the amount of games that we're playing in a row. I just have a quick question for you guys. How many games in the Royals game series do you have to, do you feel like the Sox have to win to, for you to feel very, very optimistic about the team again? Because I have a number in mind.
I think it's four.
Yep.
I think we got to win 4 out of 5. If we win 3 out of 5 and the bats show some consistent life in all 5 games,
mm-hmm.
I could maybe be all right with that. But I think 4 out of 5.
That's exactly what I would say too. The only time I would accept 3 is if 3 comes with the caveat that there wasn't some major implosion of something like the bullpen, yep, or something like that. You know, if they grind out a respectable win, say they out hit us, whatever, you know, and there's not any kind of major lapse where we look like, you know, we should have the worst OPS in the league, I would take 3 then, but I think also 4.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the sweet number right there. But not only do I want 4, I need 4 by like 4 or 5 runs most games. Like,
oh yeah,
I don't even know where a run differential at this point is. And honestly, I don't even want to look at it because I think I'd probably throw up from it. It's probably in the negative 25s, 30s, I would think.
It's 6 less than Trace Thompson's number as a White Sox.
Oh, my God. Is that high?
Yeah, negative 26.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to say, but, I mean, if we can win 4 against the Royals – and I love your optimistic mindset, Jake, but we aren't competing with that Yankees team. That Yankees team is really, really good. And I hate it, but the implosion at the end of the season in October is going to make it so much sweeter.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, where we're playing the Yankees at is kind of a bummer because they're good. Like, I think they're going to win the division, but they're playing at a level of, like, the best, like one of the best teams, like in the last few years, which I don't know. I don't think they're pitching. I don't think Nestor Cortez is a 1 ERA guy. Like, I think their pitching will back up a little bit. So I think because we're probably going to be playing with them still hot because they've been hot the last 15, 17 games or whatever it is. But yeah, it's tough. I think definitely win this series against the Royals. Maybe we can find the bats in the Royals series and can grind out because it's a 3-game series, I think. So try to maybe get 2 there. 1 I'm content with if it's, I don't know. But then take the Red Sox, take the Cubs.
And yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
The one nice thing is that if I'm correct thinking off the top of my head, we should get like Geo, Cease, and I don't know who the third would be. The rotation's so messed up right now. But we should get something along those lines for the Yankee series, which is nice. But, I mean, their whole philosophy is to hit home runs, and they're doing it. Stan's killing the ball. Judge is killing the ball. Gallo is coming to life. He should be on the White Sox, if I may add. But he's coming alive. You know, Rizzo hit the ball well in April. Donaldson's been all right. So, like, they're finally hitting their peak. And I'm curious to see if they can hold that the full season. But I am with you. I don't think they have the pitching for it.
Yeah, this Royal series presents kind of, you know, a unique opportunity to really just kind of reset the season. You got 5 straight games against probably the worst team in the division. Mm-hmm. You can throw all your arms. You can try up all your shitty lineups. And you can really kind of build a little morale here. I mean, I know Tony's, you know, I know everyone is looking at this Royal series as really important. Not even, obviously we need to win against AL Central opponents. you know, ignoring that, this is just an opportunity for the White Sox to kind of gain some steam and come back to level, which is, I can't stress how important that is.
Yeah, for sure. And going back, I have to mention Steve Stone, because he did say in the broadcast yesterday, the Sox are 4-10 against division teams. That's not going to be the case at the end of the season. And you have to believe that. You know, I had an optimistic mindset going into this year. It kind of went downhill after a while, and my good buddy at White Sox 2021 has kind of made my mindset a little bit shittier, because he's very not optimistic about this team, but he understands baseball a little bit better than I do. But I mean, honestly, we have to be better than this, right? We can't be this bad.
Yeah, that's,
I don't think we are.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of – I just want that one series that it's like we just – a word that I like to use is skull fucking. It's a fun word to say. Yep. Big Cat likes saying it. I've kind of adopted it. Jake loves it when I use it in sentences to him. Definitely. I want to see a skull fuck that baseball. I want to see a skull fuck that baseball. they're going to throw like Daniel Lynch, who we made look like, I don't know, prime Cole Hamels. I'm seeing of these random Phillies pitchers right now for some reason. Like, we made Daniel Lynch, he was our daddy last time he pitched against us. We usually shell him. I want to see Chris Bubik. I want to see us crush these lefty Royals dudes that we've crushed the last 2 years now. That last series, it really irritated me. They shut our offense down because the Royals, the games we lose to the Royals, it's usually like Salvi runs into one. Like, they usually, mm-hmm. like, because their bats aren't horrible. Like, they can score some runs, but they're pitching. Like, these dudes, like, we have rocked for years. And it's the same guys. And that's what irritated me so much. And I think I'm not getting too optimistic. They need to show it first. I'm not going to
say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. But I want to see that baseball skull fuck this dude.
I can't imagine how different this podcast would have sounded if the Sox won today. It, honestly, we would have been on like cloud nine, and then they would have probably like won two games at the Royals, and then we'd be like, "Wow, we
many, fucking yeah, lose. That's the thing with baseball is the season's such a marathon, mm-hmm. man. It's like the Sox can sweep this series and win 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. Which, I mean, taking 5 from the Royals, I don't think is that outrageous. And then, like, finding, like, grinding out 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, and we're all going to be, like, talking, like, oh, we're back. Like,
right.
It's just such a marathon that there's so much of the season left, and moves can be still made.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Yolbert Sanchez waiting for that 9-hole spot. I've been seeing his numbers in AAA, and I'm like, you know, if Harrison doesn't, it's an easy DFA if we just DFA Harrison. If he doesn't turn it around,
right?
Yolbert second base.
At what point do we bring him up? And like, we're probably going to be bringing up Cueto either Monday or Tuesday, I would think. I mean, we have.
Yeah, to I think he gets a start in this Royal Series 100%,
which is going to be awesome because Cueto, like prime Cueto, was so fun to watch. So even though he's not prime anymore, it's still so fun to watch him with his delivery and stuff like that. But like, at what point do we bring up Yolbert? Like, honestly, he looks really good. Like, he's a better Nick Madrigal. I hate to say it. Like, at this point, he's a better Nick Madrigal.
Which hitting has a glove? Because that was the thing when we signed him, was gold glove caliber fielder that the bat needs to develop. And all he's done since we've got him, even though he's old, he's been old at every level. He's like 25, which I guess for AAA isn't that crazy, but he's hit the ball at every level. Like, I think this mm-hmm. can translate relatively quickly to the majors, and he plays the position that has right field and second base have been our kryptonite during this whole thing. Like, plug him in the 9-hole and just get singles, because he doesn't have much power. Just get on base for Tim and Luis.
Like, he's literally what Nick Madrigal should have become, what we wanted him to become. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, and with the minor leagues too, you know, maybe, you know, TLR wants Carlos Perez to come up and he just platoons Reese McGuire and Carlos Perez and just fucking says, you know, fuck starting Yaz. We just DH him.
I've thought about that too with Perez. I'm like, he's killing the ball down there too. Like, that's what we got from – I've said it multiple times already in this podcast. That's what we got from guys that we called up last year Like, we haven't made many just call ups and send downs this year other than Danny Mendick. Danny Mendick's flying miles must be out of this world with how many times he goes up and down from Charlotte in here.
Like, do you think he even tells his parents anymore that he's going up to the majors?
Because I already know he's going to get called up for this doubleheader on Monday. Like, I want it to be over because that'd be really cool to see. But I already know I'm going to see that roster transaction move. Danny Mendick's been added as the extra player for the 28th man or whatever it is now. Like,
I'm pretty sure he's up right now because Gio's on the IL. Yeah, they
can't even keep track of it anymore.
Yeah. Like, do you think he just like texts his parents like, "Oh yeah, I'm getting called up to the league again." They're like, "Danny, it's Tuesday. Of course you are. Like, what do you expect?" I don't know. Something needs to change. Maybe bringing up Cueto, maybe that'll help. But Keuchel has actually looked all right in the last two starts. Maybe just having Cueto in the shadows lurking just made Keuchel become like somewhat manageable now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what we ended on right there is the perfect temperature where we should be at, because I think it's valid for us to be angry. It's valid for us to be frustrated. We have a lot of opportunities coming up. We have a lot of pieces, you know, that we can move around, that we can move up. We got a lot of moves that we can make. A lot of guys still have to wake up, have to perform. I think that's just the right temperature. A little timid, you know, pretty pissed off, but the sun will come up tomorrow, and I'll be cordial. I'll be timid about the rest of the season, and I'm going to wait for these guys to perform. I can't at this point speak anything into existence. Guys got to look in the mirror, and they have to just go ahead and go out there and perform if they want to really have this team, you know, live up to its expectations.
This podcast really met the goals of like what I was thinking wanted to get covered. It was kind of like the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, we hit on the good stuff, we hit on the bad stuff, and we hit on the ugly stuff, which I think was due for the, I think is a totally the right approach for this roster, because they're underachieving. They're still getting wins, but I don't think the way they're getting wins is sustainable.
I told you guys coming into this that this was easily going to be your longest podcast, and we're 67 minutes into recording. If you made it this far, please DM at Julian4948 on Twitter that he's a stinky troll. I don't know if you guys want to end it there, but it's been a blast talking ball with you guys. I feel like our White Sox are going to eventually turn around. You would hope, you would think, but at this point, they have to prove me wrong. They have to prove to me that they're going to turn around and that they can be a legit title contender, because I don't see it right now.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect spot. Then we, I think we definitely covered everything. I just want to say too, it's been great talking with you, Scott. Thank you so much for coming on. I think you're a refreshing take. Besides, you know, Evan and I just always bouncing off each other like we have for years. So thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for inviting me. I expect to be the first ever recurring guest on the show. I hope to have the friend of the program tag at this point, but it was fun. I love talking about the White Sox. I'll do it any day of the week, and honestly, I do it a little bit too much at work, and I think my coworkers and the patients that I see are kind of hating me.
That's the same with me. That's why I love talking in the chat too, because it's just like I've been throwing at Jake, my dad, the same Sox fans my whole life, so now I'm just getting like refreshing takes from other people from other sides of like the Midwest and stuff. So I love it. Sox Twitter, maybe nothing better.
It's crazy to think like how far we've gone, because, you know, I met you, Evan, last year? I still have never met you in person. I still owe you a beer because you won me a lot of money thanks to Max Muncy.
That's true.
But it's cool that there is such a thing as Twitter, and being able to meet some of you guys outside of Twitter has just been awesome, and I couldn't be happier to be on with you guys, so it's been fun.
100%, man, and I can guarantee you will be a recurring guest, probably the first recurring guest on this podcast.
Sorry Sean Barrett, I think Scott's got the title.
Yep. Sean had a good fight, but there is no shot.
All right, guys. Well, that is episode 6 wrapped up. If you made it to this point, you're just the man or woman or not, whatever you identify as, all good. But we are going to go ahead and hope these White Sox turn it around for Evan and for Scott. We're going to go ahead and sign off. Thank you so much for listening, and go Sox.